Hey friends, this is Fun Therapy, and my name is Mike Foster. And together we're going to dive into the messy and brutal, but oh so beautiful parts of our not so perfect stories. And we're going to do it with a smile. You know, each day is an opportunity to be trained in how to love and how to be loved. Fear, stress, shame, all of these things will take us away from the main plot point of our stories. It will distract. The story that you're in is a love story, not a shame story, not a fear story, not a story of loss, but one of love. We'll learn to rest in love and to feel secure and safe. We'll learn to be transformed by love. We grow and change and become more whole. We will learn to be vessels of love in our stories and our lives. Can become conduits of kindness for everyone we meet. This is the ultimate training for life. This is what we're learning every day, how to love and how to be loved. My name is Mike Foster, and this is Fun Therapy. Well, friends, we are more than halfway through this season of Fun Therapy. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. I'm really excited for you to hear from Mac and Meredith Brock today in our first ever Couples Fun Therapy. Such a great conversation. I can't wait for you to hear it. So quick request. If you are enjoying the Fun Therapy podcast, please subscribe and review. You know, one of the best things that you can do for any podcaster is to rate and review it. It's the best gift that you can give. There's hundreds of thousands of fantastic podcasts out there, so much goodness. So when you rate and subscribe Fun Therapy, that really is a great way of how people find it and tune in and download it. And so if this has been helpful for you, I encourage you to do that and to review it and hit those stars. I wanted to just read a couple of reviews real quick that came in last week. I read all of them, but here's a couple that I grabbed from iTunes. It says this from MacGuy68. It says, it's hard to explain how much so many of these podcasts have meant to me. I've been in some very dark places, and many times just when I click on one of the podcasts, it fits perfectly with what I'm moving through personally. It says, truly grateful. And MacGuy, we are truly grateful that you are listening and so glad that this has been helpful. Aaron Solomon wrote this on iTunes. While listening to Fun Therapy, we have the privilege to laugh with people and cry with people and enter their stories in a gentle, respectful way. I love that hope is always a vital component. Well, thank you, Aaron. And I agree, hope is a vital component of every episode. And I hope all of us always feel more hopeful when we hear each other's stories. So thanks, guys, for leaving those reviews. If you haven't done that yet, go ahead and leave your own, and I just might read it next week. All right, so as you know, I've got the two-day Fun Therapy event coming up. It's on May 16th and 17th here in Carlsbad, California. It's called Strongest. I hope you can come. It's going to be an amazing time together. It's a workshop to help you become more you. We're going to have Q&A and teaching and conversations. We're going to have a dinner party at my house. San Diego weather is going to be awesome. More information at mikefoster.tv. And you can also register at mikefoster.tv. And finally, I've got some dates coming up that speaking around the country, actually speaking tomorrow at the Catalyst event at Catalyst West Coast. And going to be at the Orange Conference in Atlanta. Doing a marriage thing in Dallas next month. So lots of dates. You can get all those at my website at mikefoster.tv. Or you can just follow me on Instagram at mikefoster2000. I'll always try to keep you up to date on what's going on there too. All right, so on this episode of Fun Therapy, Mac and Meredith Brock are joining us. And Mac, he's a great friend. Both of them are great friends. Mac is a worship leader, singer-songwriter, and a recording artist. And after a decade of being on staff, and producing and leading worship and writing songs for Elevation Worship, he went out on his own and released his first ever solo studio project called Greater Things. And the critics loved it, listeners loved it, I loved it. It's so great. He's about to go out on tour and open for Hillsong United on their tour, so you don't want to miss him. Meredith Brock, his wife, she's a powerhouse leader, executive director of strategy and business development at Proverbs 31. And she works very closely with New York Times bestselling author Lisa Turkhurst. In our very first couple's fun therapy, Mac and Meredith and I, we sit down and talk about how to say hard things in a relationship, how our past shapes our current relationships, and the power of affirming one another. And now this episode of Fun Therapy with Mac and Meredith Brock. What recently has been the hardest thing to say to your spouse? Something that was stuck inside and you needed to get out. Like what was that for both of you?
Well, we went on a date last night, and on the drive home had some pretty intense conversations. Not intense, but some very vulnerable, open, hard conversations with each other, just about where we're at. And so it's funny that you bring that up. I think, you know, probably, yeah. So last night, what one of the things, I don't know if she'll is we were talking just about the season that we're in right now of raising our kids and what that's like, because we both have really interesting jobs, like that aren't the schedule and the pace.
We're not
of life
9-to-5ers.
Right. The schedule and the pace is very different from like normal. And it's been something that we've had to learn to kind of like adjust to and get used to. And so part of that for me is I travel a lot. You know, I'll go on tour for a couple of weeks at a time and then I'll hop home, and then I'm just like home and very present, very, you know, kind of in the mix.
Right.
And then I'll be gone. And so we were talking last night just about like, if that's still working for us, you know, if that's still working for Meredith, because we've, you know, I've been in a season the last like several weeks where I've just kind of been home and been very active with the kids. And it's just been just a really like nice, pleasant season. But I know in a month I'm about to go on tour for a long time.
Yeah.
And so it was a little bit of like, hey, you know, I've picked up on maybe some of the things that you've said in passing that might make me think, are you at a healthy place? Are you doing okay?
Right.
And it was just a matter of us talking about it and me kind of bringing it up and making sure like I'm not misinterpreting something that she says in the wrong way, or maybe it's just like her venting in a moment, but it's not really how she feels about when I travel or, you know, anything like that, right, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And Meredith, what was your reaction to that? And what was underneath the surface in terms of that?
We're laughing because we're not used to these very direct questions.
Right. And to be honest, Mike, we're not done with the conversation yet. Yeah. So you're catching us literally mid kind of working through
investigation.
This. Yeah, we really are. I think, I will say my response to it, and this is really not canned. Like this is truly how I feel about Mac, is that I know him well enough that he would never say that to me. Like he would never bring that up on a whim. And so he has probably really thought through this and probably thought about like, should I bring this up? Am I misinterpreting what she's saying? And so if he's brought it to the place where he's actually ready, like he wants to talk to me about it, I trust that, okay, I need to be open here. You know, like I need to open my heart and not get defensive towards him, because that's going to shut this whole conversation down, you know, and then we're going to enter into an argument rather than a discussion. And so I have to, that's not natural for me. My natural tendency, I'm a challenger. Like I want to push and I want to naturally fight. If you were to put me in a category of a fighter or a flighter, I can guarantee I will fight every single time. And so I've had to learn in our marriage to really, really pay attention to what's going on inside of me internally when Mac brings up something, and to just like literally be aware of even how my body is responding. Like, am I clenching my fists or my jaw, you know, because that means I'm about to fight, you know? And so as he was bringing it up, it was literally on the drive home on our date last night. I could feel myself at first kind of getting a little bit mad, like, who, what? I can't believe you would think that. Do you realize that what I do, like, that's where I want to go in my like sin nature, you know, because I want to fight. But then when I kind of am able to be self-aware enough and realize like, no, this man loves me and he loves our family and I trust him. So listen, Meredith, and like hear what you need to hear, but also be honest, you know? And so in the moment, you know, I had to, it's not like it, you know, you don't have 5 minutes to go through that in your brain and in your heart when someone, but I think I've learned as I've gotten older. I mean, Mac would probably attest to it. I didn't always respond this way. I would snap. I'm a major snapper back. But last night I felt like I was able to kind of be calm in the moment, and we're still processing it. I'm trying to specifically, if we were to talk about the specific issue, I'm learning in this season while Mac tours, I'm not very good at telling people my needs. Like I take care of everyone else's needs, and I'm really not good at taking care of my own needs or asking other people for the space for me to be able to take care of my needs. And so when I don't do that, it pushes me to this place where I kind of can make not such nice comments to the people that I love because I'm tired and I'm worn out and I want to point my finger at them for me being that way, when in reality, that's not the case. I just haven't been taking care of my own needs or asking them to help me take care of my needs. And so I think we'll likely, probably after the recording of this, unpack this a little bit more around, you know, how do I mean, I'm home when he's out on tour. I'm home alone with two kids. I have a full-time job. I have to take care of the house and the dog and everything, and it's a lot. But I'm not afraid of that lot if I can make space for myself to have needs and take care of those needs. So if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Meredith, I'm just curious, as you were describing that and kind of describing your response to Mac's question and really some of the dynamics around this situation, where did you learn to fight and where did you learn to deny your needs?
Oh boy. Well, I mean, I think that was very, very early on for me as a child. I come from a really broken home, a very, very broken home. That there's six kids in my family, very poor, lots of poverty in my background as a child. And so lots of moving from home to home. And because we were getting kicked out of houses because we couldn't pay the rent. My dad was a drug dealer, and so there was a lot of chaos in our home, and there was lots of violence in our home, not necessarily from my dad, but from other people. And so I think at a young age, I learned really early to, if I don't, one, I was very clearly not allowed to have needs because there was too many people with needs. And if I had to just suck it up and deal with life, you know? And so I got really, really good at that. And in the process of that, I got really, really tough. And so I think my capacity to handle a lot of chaos, if you will, is really, really high because I grew up in such a chaotic environment and I learned to just not have needs, you know, and to take care of everyone else's needs. But I also learned that if you push in that environment, I think the fighter in me came in, where for the most part, just don't have needs, don't have needs, don't have needs. But when you come after me and I'm not going to run away. I knew in my home environment, I had to fight back or I would be eaten alive. And so that's where the fighter came from. My family is full of fighters. You would be afraid. Be very afraid. So you had to fight or die. That was the environment I grew up in.
Yeah. So it not only sounds like you're a fighter, but clearly a survivor,
mm-hmm.
Someone who has overcome so much, mm-hmm. and has had, I'm sure, many wounds to heal, mm-hmm. over the years. Mm-hmm. Is Mac, I'm curious for you in terms of, you know, how that those things from our childhood or our family of origin, are you aware of how those things impact your relationship as a team, and even in these moments, like the discussion last night in the car, do you see into that and aware of that in terms of these conversations?
Yeah, I do now. It took me a long time to learn that about her, and to learn, I think it took a lot of me learning self-awareness for myself, but also learning just about the very internal workings of Meredith's heart and the way that she responds or the way that she perceives the world, you know? And so even like last night, the conversation, it was very much, I'm coming at it now from an awareness that Meredith will do whatever it takes to just get the job done and to put your head down and to move forward and to dig deep, no matter if like she's so tired or so worn out, like she'll just do it, you know? And so me being aware of that allows me to have one, like a grace for maybe an interaction we might have, or like a response that she might have towards me. But also it gives me the perspective of like, I don't necessarily need to even always trust her when she says that she's fine, or trust her when she says that she doesn't need help. I have to push a little bit harder, yeah. and to say, I know that you're saying you're okay with this or that or whatever it might be, or doing this or doing that, but I know her well enough to know like body language, or to know kind of the subtle things that are actually her telling me like I'm not okay, or I do need help, or I do need relief, you know, somewhere. For forever in our marriage, we were really bad at fighting.
Yeah.
Because I think we just both internalized, especially me. I'm just like an internalizer, and I don't want to fight, or I don't want to get in a tough conversation. So I'd rather just like leave or go into a different room and just stew on it in my own mind, have all the conversations in my mind without ever speaking them out loud. And so, you know, just the longer we've been married, obviously, like, or at least in our experience, I don't know what it's like for other people, but in our experience, it has been learning how to communicate with each other has just been such an important part for us. And it's been an important part for us to learn, like, how to disagree and how to fight in a sense, you know? And that's something I always like heard from like marriage counseling and stuff, is like, learn how to fight well. But I didn't really, that was like a pleasant thing to say that I didn't really know what that even meant.
Right.
You know,
I remember, I'm laughing over here. I wish you could see me, Mike, because I am remembering distinctly. I know exactly where I was standing. Mac and I were probably married maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. And I was so annoyed at the fact that he never got mad. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I remember saying to him, I mean, can you just yell or something? Can you get upset about anything? Because it was just so, to me in my mind, I was like, do you have no feelings? But it was just him being that peaceful person, like seeking peace, wanting. And his way of doing it was just to, you know, and at that time, because we were just newly married, it was to just not bring it up. And I'm still very rough outside, was like, let's fight it out. Come on, yell at me. I'm ready. Let's do this, you know? But I think as we matured, but what I think is in marriage, we matured, but I think individually, we both did our own work.
Right.
You know, and that's what really, really, there wasn't like, Mac and I have gone to marriage counseling, but let me tell you, Mike, I've been to counseling by myself way more than Mac has been in counseling with me, right. You know, because I had things that I needed to kind of.
And same. Yeah. Same for me as
well. Yeah. Like, Mac's done counseling on his own.
Ways that we've like had to, yeah, understand ourselves more.
So that we can give grace to the other person more.
Right. And understand how we respond.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. It's such an important point. And, you know, when I'm doing couples counseling and working with couples, so often there's this lots of energy towards working on the relationship versus, you know, sometimes the way that we work on the relationship is actually to work on ourselves, yeah. Work on our own heart.
So much.
And that's the pathway through whatever the relationship struggle might be happening in with the couple. And so absolutely, like, that's so beautiful that you guys have been wise enough to know that me doing personal work, that's where I need, that's going to make the marriage healthier.
Mm. Right.
And so let me ask you, in terms of both your personal work, Meredith, what was the thing that you say, like, you doing this personal work, whatever the topic might be, whatever the piece of your story might be, this one thing, me working on this, has just been a dramatic, healthy thing for the relationship.
Yeah. I honestly, there's a long list of them, but the first one that comes to mind, if I sat here long enough and thought about it, there might be another one that I would place higher priority on, because I think it may have affected our relationship more. But right now, the first one that comes to mind, is knowing, because I came from such a chaotic background, you know, and there were all these kids and my parents couldn't pay the bills. And really, very honestly, sometimes I think about this and I'm like, this is crazy. But I legitimately, no one ever told me that I was loved as a child, ever. Like, I probably didn't hear, I love you, until I was probably in college. Like, really, unless it was from like some skeezy guy who was like trying to get with me, right? But like, and knowing that this person really loved me, but also unknowing. So probably the biggest thing that I had to work through, and I still on a regular basis have to fight this battle because I think it got really deeply ingrained in my DNA, is that I naturally believe that no one cares about me at all, you know, and that I, once again, it kind of comes back to that place. I'm not allowed to have needs. No one cares about you. You're here just to, you know, take care of other people and get things done. And when I really began to unpack that, and I've had to revisit this subject a lot for myself, because when I am in a disintegrated state, under stress, tired, sick, that's the place where my heart and my mind will naturally go. But when I really came to really believe and understand and really, really believe in the core of my being that God really, really loves me, and that's all that I need. Like, I don't need, I love Mac, and I would really like for Mac to love me. Like, I want him to. That's really nice. But I actually don't need him to, because I really and truly believe at the core of my being, the God of this universe, the creator of everything I see, knows everything, things that Mac will never know about me. And he loves me completely, wholly, in all the right ways. When I really began to grasp that and let myself relax in that and receive it, I became a completely different person, you know, and that process happened long before I met Mac. It started long before I met Mac, but I think there have been layers of it peeled back as I have entered into adulthood. When we got married, there was another layer that I had to peel back. You know, when we had kids, there was another layer that I had to peel back, of really knowing that I am loved as I am. And I don't have to work for that. And I also don't, need to place that on any human being to make me feel that way. if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, it really is, in a way, moving from scarcity and fear and not enoughness to this place of overflowing. And when we make that shift of knowing that we're loved and the security of knowing that we are radically loved that way, then when we bump up into situations where perhaps our spouse isn't telling us that they love us enough, or that there's maybe a moment where we don't feel love, that isn't going to be as volatile.
Right.
That's not going to be as triggering, because you can rest back into, your words, that security of being loved.
And I think early in our marriage, because again, this was another layer of this, I had never been married before. When someone has what I would call like a love void, if you will, who comes from a background like me, who has never felt loved, and they enter into marriage, it's really easy to place an expectation on your spouse. Like, it's your job to make me feel loved, you know? And when you I operated probably in that space for a good year when we first got married. And I can only imagine for Mac, that's a lot of pressure. I mean, he can't make me feel fully loved. There's no way. He's a human being. He's fallible, you know? And I had to really pull back the layers of that and realize, like, and take the pressure off of him so that Mac could be fully Mac and love me to the best of his abilities. But he wasn't my source of love. Like, he wasn't my source of approval and worth. He was just kind of like a bonus that I got to enjoy.
Yeah, no, that's so good.
That's a good bonus.
Yeah, it is a good bonus.
It's a great bonus. So Mac, in terms of your personal work and some working through some of your things, how has that, as Meredith has shared, and just giving context of working through her family and her upbringing and some of the beliefs that got implanted there, and how working through that has really allowed this new security around love and belonging, and knowing that, you know, you don't have to provide every ounce of love for her. What about for you? Like, what is the thing that you've worked on that has benefited the relationship significantly?
Yeah, I think just kind of going back to the self-awareness thing has been really big for me over the last like several years. Is I was telling Meredith a couple of months ago how for so much of my life, I just didn't really have any self-awareness. I was just like, like just doing what I was doing, whether it was high school or making music or whatever. But I didn't ever think about like, it wasn't like I don't want to even say it was like a selfish thing. I just was so kind of like oblivious to how I might be responding and what that might, how it might affect somebody or anything like that. It was just like more oblivion than it was like selfishness, like a conscious decision. I was just like not self-aware. And kind of the older I got, we get married, and I think it forced myself to start realizing, all right, even the littlest things that I do have some sort of effect on Meredith or the people that I'm around. And so what does that mean for me to be like aware of that? How does that like adjust, you know, my response or my actions? And I think the biggest way that it's helped me respond appropriately is just by going back to what we were saying about just the communication. Is I feel like understanding myself better and understanding just the way that I perceive things, the way that things, actions might make me feel, helps me to communicate that in the relationships that I have, and helps me to communicate better in serving other people or serving Meredith or serving my children, just because I'm a little bit more aware of the impact of my actions, I guess, or the impact of my words.
It does. Let me ask you, as we're kind of sitting here and talking about communication, talking about our past, talking about the relationship, what is the, and maybe as best as you can, like bring yourself into this present moment, or maybe this week, or even maybe in this season for you, like, what is the one thing that you need to hear from each other? Hmm. What is the one thing that, either a statement, a phrase, a word, like, what would be the thing that, and we can start with, maybe let's start with Meredith. Like, what would you need and want to hear from Mac?
I could probably answer for her. Let's see if he can.
This is great. I love this. This is a great experiment.
Yeah. I think a real basic thing is probably just like, thank you. Mm. And, you know, I notice what you do, and I notice how hard you work. I notice all the little things. But I think the other thing that she needs to hear without asking is for help mm-hmm. from me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For certain, you know.
Yeah.
It could be doing the dishes,
right?
You know, or it can be, you know, taking the kids some, you know, going on like a trip or something like that. But just me, almost any time I do anything without her having to ask me is like very
monumental.
Helpful for her.
Yeah.
Monumental kind of sounds like
that. Is that what you would say?
I mean, I think that's right on. I mean, kind of what he said earlier. I think one of the very best things Mac does for me in this season, I think it's different. It's changed in the different seasons of our life. In this season, where we have two small kids, he's on tour, I'm running a full-time job, it's kind of crazy. Like he alluded to earlier, Mac will sometimes say, hey, why don't you go out with, why don't you text Karis and go and hang out with Karis this week? You know, and that, like, because I honestly, and this sounds like so Mother Teresa of me, but it's not Mother Teresa in like a healthy way. It's Mother Teresa who came from a really jacked up background. I don't think about my needs. Like, I don't think mm-hmm. about the fact that I haven't like talked to an adult other than Mac for weeks on end because I'm just taking care of my kids and taking care of my job. And, you know, so one of the best things he can do is recognize, whoa, she's saying she's fine, but she's not fine right now. And I need mm-hmm. to help her just have a minute to be her and not the delivery of services to so many people in her life. You know, so I would say that in other seasons, I would say early on when we first got married, I needed Mac to tell me that he loved me. Like, I needed to hear mm-hmm. him say it because that was such a hard thing for me. But in this season, because we've grown so much in that area, I don't feel this like dying need for him to say that to me all the time. When I did early on, I really needed to hear that because I was so insecure in that place. And so right now it's the help. It's like, how can I help you? Or to say,
how can I help you help you?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's good.
Yeah. Or even he mentioned earlier, just saying like him telling you, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Yeah. Thank you. In affirming that way of the sacrifices that you're making.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Okay. And Mac, what do you need to hear from Meredith in this season?
I think I know.
Cause I'm struggling.
Yeah. This is so great that you guys are actually aware of this. This is so healthy.
I try. I think because, and this is going to sound counterintuitive to everything that we've just said, because, and this right here might be the hot button that we need to unpack after we get off this podcast. And that is, I think Mac needs to know that I'm okay. And so that he has the freedom to do what God's, like, the season, to be in the season that he's in. You know, I know he worries about me. Like, he worries about me. He worries about the kids. Like, is everybody okay? And that will lock him up from being able to be fully present other places, you know? And so my guess would be, if I were to need to say the best thing I can say to Mac in this season, as long as it is actually true, is, I'm good, babe. Go after it. Yeah. Do it. Don't be afraid. I'm behind you. You know, I think that's the best thing I could say to him.
Yeah, that probably is accurate. It's such an interesting, what we both do is just such a weird thing, you know? Like I said, like for the past 6 weeks, I did a tour in February that was like 2 weeks long. And then for the past 6 weeks, like I've just been
home,
you know?
And which is like, weird for us. That's not normal.
And it's like, and just been here, you know? And so when I'm stepping into like other travel things or just being gone to where I'm gone for like chunks of time, which that's kind of like the thing that we try to navigate is like, how often can I tour versus how often can I just kind of like hop in and out of places that are like one-offs, you know? But we're about to enter a season where I'm going to be on tour for a long time where it's like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time that I'm just gone, that it's very hard, you know, it's hard. It's hard for me being gone. I think it's, you know, a little bit hard for, you know, Meredith, just like the responsibilities that she has and just trying to navigate it all. But it is, yeah, I think knowing that she's good, you mm-hmm. know, and that she's not mm-hmm. pulling her hair out or she's not like
about to have a nervous breakdown.
Right. Yeah, that is like important, and it does release, you know, it does release me to be able to do what, you know, what my calling is and kind of what like my job is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a fine balance. Okay.
And the other thing I would just that Meredith, that we both have just tried to learn, and this is something that we're still learning, is we're still trying to figure out like our pace of life isn't going to change anytime soon.
Right.
And so if there is areas of like unhealthiness or just things that we need to make adjustments, how can we do that? And so like one of those things is how can we bring our family all in together in what we do?
Yeah.
To where I'm not just a musician, worship leader that just like goes out and it's Mac Brock, but like how can my kids be a part of my thing mm-hmm. that I'm doing? How can Meredith kind of be in it? I mean, even doing like, you know, this podcast and stuff, this is like a real blessing to us because so much of like what we want is for our family to be a part of what we do as like adults, you know, not just
Mac goes right,
this
out,
is Mac's job,
thing.
This is Meredith's right. job, mm-hmm. kids right. are in school, right. that's our lives, you know? It's like very much like, all right, how can we bring everybody along to where we're all doing this together?
Yeah.
And that's something that we're still learning.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm gonna ask you to do something if you're up to it that may feel a little weird, but probably not with you guys because you're so healthy, in my opinion. It's just nice talking to healthy couples, honestly. it's so beautiful. But I'd be curious if you guys would be open to this, if you would, as we kind of wrap up here, and I know we can't see you, this isn't on video, but to actually turn to each other and look at each other and tell each other what each other needed to hear. Mm. Hopefully you remember. And just say it. Don't like, I'm not here. Microphones aren't on. Mm-hmm. Just say they are on, but say it to each other. The thing that they need to hear right now.
I would say, Meredith, I see all that you do. I see the work that you do in the ministry that you help run. And I see the work that you do on my behalf, trying to organize my life. I see the work that you do in our kids and loving them and actually raising them to be confident kids and to be kids that know that they're loved by you and by me and by God. And I see all the details that you do because it's a lot of details and it doesn't go unnoticed. Mm.
Thank you very much.
Meredith.
Uh-huh. Mac, first, I love you and I believe in you so much. I know God has called you into what you're doing, and you are an anointed worship leader that this generation needs. And I'm good. I am in a good space and will keep working to be in a good space. And our family is happy and healthy, so you are free. to run after what it is God has called us to, and to lead us really well, because you are leading us really, really well. And I love doing this with you.
I want to say thanks to Mac and Meredith Brock. I love your love for each other. It's so encouraging to see couples dealing with their own brokenness and doing their personal work, and then experiencing the rewards and the relationship that comes from it. Connect with Mac. Hillsong United Tour, he's out there, probably in a city that you're at. Go see him. He's opening again for Hillsong United. You can stream or buy Mac's album, Greater Things. It came out just a little while ago, I guess maybe a year ago or so. And his new EP called Covered is actually out now. It's red hot and fresh music. It literally just dropped a few days ago. It is great stuff. And I encourage you, you got to hear his new song, I Am Loved. I so love the lyrics. I just love that song. It's great. You can, again, stream or buy his music on Spotify or iTunes, or connect with Mac at macbrock.com. Now, I asked Meredith, what's the next step for our listeners, for you? And she just said, send them to Mac stuff. So that's what we're doing. If you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure to share it with your friends and followers. Just screenshot your phone right now and post it. Tag me in it. If you're on Instagram, MikeFoster2000. Tag Mac in it. Tag Meredith in it. Don't forget about registering for the Strongest Workshop. All the information is over at my website at MikeFoster.tv. I want to say thanks to Sleeping at Last for providing the beautiful, lush soundtrack to Fun Therapy. And remember, no matter what has happened in your story, that your setbacks can become your superpowers, and honesty is always the best policy. But wait, there's more. Before you head out, I convinced Mac to play an acoustic song for us, and just a special song for you. And he did this in the moment, and I can't wait for you to hear this wonderful song. So a little special treat for our Fun Therapy listeners. Here's Mac Brock.
And the stillness right from the start, you were the ember that lit the dark. Over the heavens and galaxies, God, you were there singing over me. There in the silence and mystery, you were the constant that stayed with me. Never a moment that you withdrew. God, you were there when I needed you. Oh, my soul sings, you were faithful. You were faithful to the end. Let my heart sing, because you know. Into the shadows I wandered off. You were the shepherd that sought my heart. Where would I hide that you couldn't see? Ready and now you would come for me. Ready and now you would come for me. Oh, my soul sings, you were faithful, you were faithful to the end. Let my heart sing, because you know me and you love me. to the end. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the end.